waters plunged beneath the flood, whose all the guilty stains, whose all the guilty stains, whose all the guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath the flood, whose all the guilty stains, the dying thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I go while as he wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash
good? I'll get words right again.
Kayla's not here.
Yes.
Check, check, check. Yes, number two. God, I give you all I can today. These scattered ashes that I've hid away, I lay them all at your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name, show me the love. I say I believe. Oh, help me to lay it down. Oh, Lord, I lay it down. And oh, let this be once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all.
Well, good morning. My name is Brady Lipscomb, and it's good to be with you all. What a privilege to be asked to come here and to open the Word of God with you, and that's what makes it exciting. I'm an old Huntington boy, and I don't know, one of my buddies from college might be slipping on. Howard, are you here? Okay, yeah. Howard Rousey, one of the fellows who's a basketball coach over at Williamstown. We were in Campus Crusade for Christ together. A lot of good memories. Well, I'm just a servant of Christ. And they ask for a spreadsheet of the glory of the worm ceremony, what I call it. You know, they say a lot of things about you, but, you know, it's just to be known as just a servant of the living God. So, again, I thank you all. I've been praying for you all because I've been on both sides of the pulpit committee. I've been on the pulpit committee. I've also been interviewed a couple of times by pulpit committees. And I remember a gentleman telling me years ago on the pulpit committee that I was on, a very wise man made this remark. He said, "Remember, a man can destroy the church, but also a church can destroy a man of God." So as you proceed and as you look, know that we are praying for you. And I was reminded that is why that this is down here, but also we want to take another little step to remind us in a different. We have an unseen guest here this morning. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as you look at this chair, don't think about a pastor, but think about the Shepherd of Shepherds, the King of the church. So he's our unseen guest. Years ago, one of my seminary professors used to stop in at church service, and he was my Old Testament, my New Testament, and Greek professor. And Dr. Sproul and his family would sneak in. And one of my pastor buddies said, "Well, doesn't that scare you when John Sproul sits in your congregation?" I said, not at all. I said, because the Lord Jesus Christ is on the front seat, and he's the one I'm accountable to. So as we get ready to get in the Word, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to open up the Word and for these dear people who've been redeemed by you. And we pray that the Word of God would open our eyes, that we would see more clearly you and your character, to see your plan, to see our lives, and that we would finish the race right. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love, and for us always being on your mind, and that you're interceding for us. And I pray for this church body. I pray, Lord, that you'd raise up a man for this church to lead, to shepherd, to pastor them for the glory and the building up of the kingdom. And Lord, for the church that he'll be leaving, I pray for that church, because they will probably love him immensely, and they will look to him, but yet their hearts will be saddened, because they will be put into the same position that this church is put in. But Lord, we know that you raise up your men in the right way, in the right time. So again, I ask for wisdom and guidance and direction for those on this pulpit committee, and for the church here to pray continually, not only for that man, but pray for the kingdom, that we as the body of Christ will build up the kingdom. And we ask it in your name, and amen. If you're taking notes, the title of my message this morning is called, It's a Time to Shine. We live in a very dark age, very dark time, do we not? As we were in Sunday school class today, we were talking about fear. Fear is ravaging our country and our world. War, pandemic, financial, all kinds of things are coming at us. Now, how many of us, in all honesty, have ever sat down and asked God what's going on? I'd like to see your hands. Well, we have one honest, two or three honest people here. Okay. We all have. We've all said, Lord, what's going on in my life? It's falling apart. When I was 16, my father died in my arms from a heart attack. I was a new believer. Lord, what's going on? But you know, God has used that in my life. A few years later, I was in the hospital with my 10-week-old son, watching my dear doctor friend and a paramedic that I knew doing CPR on my son, and seeing the doctor look up at me and say, he's gone. Then a few years later, I had a brain tumor, and I do have proof I've got a brain. Yeah, you all are an assumption, okay? And what's really scary, I operate with a part of a brain as well as you all do with a full one. Yeah, we got scary, isn't it? Besides that, I'm a pilot. You want to go flying with me? Really, I am. I never lost my medical, but yeah, I get high on a regular basis, legally. But, you know, during those times of life, I thought, okay, Lord, what's going on? And there's been times when I've lost everything financially, you know. But the thing that I learned when I was in that emergency room with my son, when they looked at me and they said, he's gone, I learned about that much about the love of God towards me. And that is still ministering today, 36 years later, because that day I learned the truth of John 3:16 and 17. Because I wouldn't have given my son for anybody, and neither would you. But to realize how much God loves me, that's become a very important part of my life, especially, you know, when the doctor one day says, you've got a brain tumor. Well, that's a whole nother story on itself. But God took care of that. But I want to draw you back to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, okay, in your Bible. How many of you ever heard a message from the book of Habakkuk? Why, good, good. All right. Now, in West Virginia, we call it Habakkuk. A good Jewish fellow would look at you and say, it's Habakkuk, okay? So we have to get the background of this. Habakkuk was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. So he identifies with us. in Israel, they have the Mason-Dixon line, and he was from the southern part. But Habakkuk was a prophet. We don't know that much about him, but we do know a lot about the history, because we know the northern kingdom was evil. The southern kingdom had 8 righteous kings. The northern kingdom had none. And God took the northern kingdom, Israel, out by Assyria in 586 B.C. I'm sorry, 722 B.C. And he took them out into Assyria, into a tremendous, terrible captivity. Well, Judah paid a little bit of attention because they had 8 righteous kings, but in 586, that is when God sent the Babylonians in. Now, if you remember a young man, matter of fact, several young men, Daniel, you remember, all right, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and a buddy of mine said the last 3 were actually contractors. It was my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. but these 4 men, along with others, were taken in captivity and taken to the Middle East, and they were stripped of everything, their godly names. They weren't allowed to speak their language. They were given food that was sacrificed to idols. And so at this point in time in the book of Habakkuk, the Babylonian captivity hadn't taken place. But we got to go back and remember the reason why there was so much trouble in Israel and Judah is because they didn't cleanse the land in the beginning. So the sin in the beginning kept going through the nation, and it's still there today. And that defiance will not end until the Lord Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom. For that's for Israel. But Habakkuk was having a problem, much like us today. And I want you to look at Habakkuk chapter 1, because I want to look at, if you're taking notes, the question. The question. Matter of fact, he's going to ask a couple questions, but here's the first one. Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contentions arise. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Sounds like 2021, doesn't it? Well, one of my favorite theologians, his name's Forrest Gump. Y'all know Forrest Gump? Well, do you remember when Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan, they were out there in the shrimp boat and with Bubba Shrimp, and they were out there, and Lieutenant Dan, because of the things that had happened to him, was cursing God. And he was up on the mast. Do you remember that? He's up there, and he's just raising, there's a storm coming, and he's raising his fist, God, if you are there. And remember Forrest's response? And about that time, God showed up. Well, Habakkuk was asking these questions, and about this time, God answered. And I think most of us, when we ask God a question, if he would answer us, like verbally answer us, we wouldn't know how to handle it. Matter of fact, when I was born back in 1956, if God had told me the things that were going to happen in my life with my dad and my son and my surgery and my mom and all the other things, you know, I'd be living in fear. Waiting for those days to come, oh, well, the shoe's going to fall. But when we realize that we have a God that knows the beginning from the end, he's sovereign, he allows us to be moral agents and to make our own decisions. Sometimes we call that sin. If it's not sin, we're in obedience. That's a good thing. But this question that Habakkuk was asking, God answered. And I want you to look in verse 5. I love this. Look among the nations. Observe. Get your eyes off of yourself. We have a bad case of ingrown eyeballs. Have you ever noticed that? We don't look and see what God's doing. I've got friends in Italy that they're seeing Muslims come to Christ daily, coming out of Iraq and Iran and Pakistan and Afghanistan. We don't see what's happening in these other companies, how God is moving greatly. Yeah, we're just worried about our own little country. Folks, God is doing something in the United States today that most of us don't see because we're looking at ourselves. But here God tells Habakkuk, he said, look around you, observe, get your eyes open, see what I am doing. He said, and be astonished and wonder. Now, there's some words that I think that we should wipe out of our vocabulary as believers. Accident, mistake, coincidence, and luck. Because the God that I know and the character that I see in this scripture, none of those qualify of any of his characteristics. Do you agree with me? Now, the last one is this. Sorry if I step on your toes, but tough. Awesome. That's an awesome pizza. That's an awesome TV show. That's an awesome car. Folks, awesome is a word that should only be used to characterize the mighty greatness and character of God Almighty and nothing else. It's something that takes your breath away. The only thing an awesome pizza gives me is indigestion. It's not so awesome an hour and a half later. But folks, for us to look and to get that astonishment, to look at the sky, the clear sky at night, and remember the one who hung those is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows every one of them by name, but also he knew us before the foundations of the world. He didn't come to save them. He came to save us. Right? So that is awesome. That is great. We need to be astonished and to see the things that are taking place. And look at this next little phrase. Because I am doing something in your day and you would not believe if you were told. Have you ever noticed God never asks us if it's okay to do anything? Have you ever noticed that? Nah. But I like this. If God told us what he was doing behind the scenes and things that we don't see, we wouldn't believe it. How would you like to have been around when he said, I'm going to create the heavens and the earth out of nothing? That's pretty impressive. And he speaks it into existence. But I want you to keep this in mind. Things in our lives, like my dad's death, my son's death, my brain tumor, and other things, they are not accidents. They are not a coincidence. They're not a mistake. God has used each of those in my life. A week ago, today, I sat with a family of a 37-year-old who had dropped dead of a heart attack. Three babies. What do you say as a pastor? What do you say? Let me tell you what you say to somebody who's lost a loved one. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. And don't offer them an explanation because you don't know. We're on the right wavelength, aren't we, brother? Yeah, there you go. All right. So within this, I sat down. I didn't preach to them. I set a chair down in the funeral home, and I talked to them. I said, let me show you how you're going to get through this. There's a lot of folks that have a lot of theology, but theology, the knowledge of about God, it's got to come down on a daily level. Well, I didn't have anybody. I just sat there and told them, I said, this is life's experience with me. This is how my mama got through where you're at, young lady. This is how I got through as a teenager like you. Because it all comes back to the person of Jesus Christ. I had no idea what God was doing in those events in my life in order for me to minister to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort and the God of all mercy, who is able to comfort you in times like this in order that you might be able to comfort others who go through the same thing. Our life is a ministry. Several years ago, I went for some flight training to learn how to fly a jet. Now, remember, I had brain surgery. You want to fly with me? Huh? Yeah. And I passed, okay? But life, the Christian life, is not a simulator. Have you ever noticed that? The Christian life is a day-by-day walk with the living God. And doing what you know, like the psalmist writes, it's a lamp unto my feet. It just shows me where I'm going to take the next step. Sometimes that's all you have, isn't it? So life isn't like a simulator. And when I was in that simulator with the airplane, man, they threw all kinds. They gave me engine fires and engine failures on takeoff, hydraulic. I mean, they just threw everything at me. But you know the great thing about it is I didn't crash. That's why they call it a simulator. Folks, the Christian life is not a simulator, but it is a direction right here. But like Habakkuk, we're asking these questions. Lord, look at our society. Look at America. It's not what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago. It's falling apart. And I'm going to say something, and I say this with a gentle heart. I believe one of the reasons why America is falling apart is because we as the church have quit doing what the church was called to do. We want everything comfortable. We want everybody to do things. Folks, what do you see in your neighborhood that needs ministered to? A lot of times we just come, and as a friend of mine, we come, sit, and sour. You know, that's all what God's called us to do. Now, I want to move on here. You know, I love this church. It doesn't have a clock in the back. You all are in for it. It's like when I was in Russia, I asked the pastor, I said, "Pastor, how long do you want me to preach?" He said, 3 hours. Matter of fact, somebody said that to me this morning, and I said, "We can do it." All right. So, do you know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off? Absolutely nothing. Okay. But I will try not to do this to you. But we had the question, we had the answer of God. Now we're going to come to the attitude. The attitude. Go to 2 chapter 2, verse 4. Now, most of us, we are Protestant because of the Protestant Reformation and what Martin Luther recognized when he's reading the book of Romans, "For the just shall live by faith," right? Well, do you know where he got that from? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? But I want us to look at this. "Behold, as for the proud one," he's talking about Babylon, because they were going to come in. Now, God answered him. He said, "Hey, they're going to come in. They're going to ravage. They're going to rape. They're going to ruin. They're going to take your homes. They're going to take everything." How would you like to be in Habakkuk and have that on your mind? It'd be pretty, you know, when's it going to happen? Well, you'll find out. But look at this. "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." I want to give you a little bit of Hebrew here. I'm not a Hebrew scholar or anything, but I like digging into it. I think we missed something in the English translation. So let me give you the Lipscomb translation here. "But the righteous will joyously live through his faith." Write it down. "For the righteous will joyously live through his faith." Now, today, my wife wanted to stop at McDonald's on the way in. There's one thing about driving by McDonald's. There's another thing by going through McDonald's. Now, both of these are good. That's a good translation here. But the idea of how to live is the Hebrew says it's joyously. And you think, how in the world can I live joyously in this messed up world? How can I joyously live through things that have happened in my life? If you haven't noticed, a bunch of believers are like Eeyore. How are you doing today? Well, I'm okay under the circumstances. Have you ever noticed that? You got people that walk into your Sunday school class and they suck all the joy out of it immediately. Sometimes you won't say, excuse me, there's another class for you down the road. You know, matter of fact, I got a good church for you to go to. But we as believers have a reason to live joyously. And no, I wasn't doing jumping jacks with my son or my dad or my mom or my brain tumor. But you know something? I had a peace that surpassed all understanding. Because if we look into the book of Philippians, chapter 4, it talks, matter of fact, the whole book of Philippians deals with living joyously. If you go into the book of James, count it all joy when you encounter various trials and temptations. Here's the half-brother of Jesus telling us that. How would you like to have grown up with Jesus when mom and dad said, can't you be like your brother? But the New Testament counterpart is so true. Remember, Habakkuk didn't know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We do. We know of God's character. We've got it right here. Yes, I can live joyously through situations. It doesn't mean I'm doing flip-flops, but I can have a peace. I can have mercy. I can have love. Peace, patience, love, joy. The fruit of the Spirit, there's not seven fruits. There's one fruit with those seven juices in it. I got in trouble one time in an English class. I quoted that, for the fruit of the Spirit is, and my English teacher circled is, and she said, it's not is, it's a are, because that's a plural. I said, no, you just don't know good Greek when you see it. Well, I wasn't invited to that Christmas party either. But folks, what I want us to get in mind here, God told Habakkuk what he was going to do and the devastation that was going to come. So if you knew all the devastation that was going to come in your life and mine, what would you be like today? I'm also a licensed funeral director and embalmer. And this last week, we had a husband and wife that died within 1 minute of each other. Like I said, I had a funeral of a young man and his wife, his widow, and three children. What if God told you that's what's going to happen to you in the next day or two? How would you be approaching that? Wow, that kind of puts it in reality, doesn't it? Or your brand new car, when you pull out of the parking lot, somebody's going to T-bone you and ruin your new car. Whoa, now that's getting kind of personal. But you know, we don't know, but he does. And he says, trust me. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And even when we get out in disobedience, that's what the crook is for, to pull you back. Well, there's another message dealing with John 15 with the vine and the branches. But I want you to realize what the scripture says, but the righteous will live through their faith. You know, I have people, church folks, oh goodness, look at the price of food. Will we have enough toilet paper this next year? Oh, look, what's the price of meat? Oh, you know, if we're wringing our hands, we're not doing this. I like to go fishing down in Georgia, striper fishing. An old boy by the name of Rocky, he's a believer. This guy cut in on where we were going to fish one day, and Rocky got upset. And I said, Rocky, are you ticked off? He goes, brother, we ain't going to rub on it. And I said, what? He said, brother, we ain't going to rub on it. I said, what do you mean? He said, have you ever noticed that when you start rubbing your hands together, that you get there and they get hot when you rub on it? He says, but you take those hands that are rubbing on it and you turn them into hands that are praising. He said, it changes a whole lot of things. So in my family and the church I was just spent 35 years with, that's our phrase, we ain't going to rub on it. Okay? So let's not rub on it. Let's go say, okay, God, what are you going to do? Where do you want me? So we've looked at a question, we've looked at an answer, we've looked at a theology, and now I want to look at a reaction. Turn in chapter 3. My brother, where's our music leader? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. There you are. He fell asleep back there. He's in a chair. Yeah. You'll like this because this is actually a song at the end of this. Now, we sang some good songs this morning. Do you notice how many of the songs had to do with joy? Had to do with the character of God? Well, you know something? Habakkuk is ending the same way. Now, what are you going to do with what you've learned this morning? You got questions for God, and the last time I checked, He hasn't answered any of mine. That's where it comes by faith. Matter of fact, let me jump back just for a second. The just shall live by faith. Turn in your Bibles over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. Says, for yet in this very little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live through faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Whoa, that's a big one, isn't it? And the idea there is not that God says, oh, I don't like you anymore. That's not it. Have you ever had your child, your child is doing really, really good. And all of a sudden, they just quit. Well, this which was pleasurable, you're saying, man, this is pleasurable watching that child, but now I'm not happy. You know, it's not pleasurable to see what could happen in their lives. It's not pleasurable for God to look at us and say, hey, do you know what I can really do with you? When we have things going on, well, I'm just going to quit. Several years ago, I was in Russia. And it was the guy that told me I could preach for 3 hours. This lady, now these folks were sitting on 2x8s. The women had brought their head coverings, their shawls and stuff, and laid them on the 2x8s, which were held up by cinder blocks, sitting there where you could see your breath. The only time I've ever preached in a full overcoat. I got through because I preached through the book of Hebrews from 13 back to 1 about going on to maturity. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. Going on to maturity. And this lady comes up to me afterwards. She said, I was ready to quit. You came from America just for me. I felt that tall. I'm sitting there looking at these folks who had two Bibles and two hymn books. One set was handwritten, one was given by the government, and they would hide their handwritten ones around every day. Folks, when's the last time that the government came for your Bible or for your hymn book here? When's the last time you sat on a 2x8 for 3 hours to listen to some guy preach? I was impressed with those folks. But she said, I was going to quit. Her son had died. Her husband was an abusive alcoholic. Her other son was an alcoholic. She had a daughter who was a drug dealer and a prostitute. And she said, with all this in my life, I just wanted to quit because God's not answering my prayers. But she said, you know, today, from what God's word says, I need to hold the course. That's what it is for us. Holding the course. I'm going to read a quote here from the Ryrie Study Bible, because I'm not this smart to write these things. It says, this quotation from Habakkuk 2:4 is used to teach that a person who's been made righteous by God lives and survives by faith. I like that. We live and survive by faith. The believer trusts in God in everything, Habakkuk 2:4. where Paul uses it in the book of Romans and Galatians. Paul uses it to teach that the one who lives righteously through faith rather than works shall live. The emphasis is on salvation by faith. This writer is living through faith. And then what's the next chapter? We call it the faith, the hall of faith, do we not? Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit moved Paul, or moved the writer of Hebrews, to write this as he moves into all these folks who, Abel and Noah and Enoch and all these folks who live by faith. Folks, living by faith is something else. So go back to Habakkuk chapter 3. Like Henry VIII said to his third wife, it won't be much longer, okay? Verses 17, 18, and 19. Now Habakkuk knew all of this stuff that was going to happen. It was going to be nasty. It was, you know, just going to be unreal. But look at how his attitude was changed. Remember the first part? Asking questions. The last part is how to live. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olives should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold. There we go. And the cattle, I think that was a hint to stop. And there's no cattle in the stalls. Folks, in the last year or so, do you remember, a couple of years ago when there's a drought out west and they were selling cattle off? You couldn't see cattle anywhere. Where we live, the cattle were basically gone. You know, this last year, toilet paper was gone. Lysol was gone. Even now, if you go to Walmart and Sam's, even the grocery store, the other day my wife went to get some mustard. There wasn't a jar, a canister of mustard anywhere. It can happen here. So what are you going to do when you go? Well, here's the answer. Yet, I will exalt in the Lord, means to give thanks. Paul writes, give thanks in all things, for that's God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Wow. You want to know what the will of God is? Giving thanks in all things, not just some things. Yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Remember the song? My hope is built on nothing less. Sing it with me. Do you know it? Okay, let's go ahead. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I shall trust. Come on. But wholly lean on Jesus' name. See, that's where we live. That's where we live, is it not? That's where Habakkuk lived. And you know, we have a time to shine, ladies and gentlemen, in our country today. The church has an opportunity not to behave like the fear-mongering in the world. Yes, COVID is bad. Cancer is bad. As my pawpaw used to say, life is unfair at its best and cruel at its worst, but it's God's grace and mercy that will take you through it all. That comes from a testimony who walked with Christ for over 70 years. That's something that we need to learn. So my challenge this morning, you might be battling with something. Maybe some things have come your way and you're just sitting there thinking, Lord, how am I going to get through it? One last illustration. Of course, being from Huntington, I'm a Marshall fan. I'll pray for the rest of you. But you know, both teams lost yesterday. Do you know why they lost? Because they couldn't finish the quarter. They couldn't finish. Why? We don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, we as children of the Almighty God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who gives us the power of God to do it, even when we think that we can't, and that's when it's the best, we need to finish the quarter. I don't know if we're in the last quarter or not, but regardless, finish the race. Maybe you're battling with something this morning. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. I only know a few of you. But maybe the fear of death, you're thinking about that. Well, we got a cure for that. Maybe you've got a fear about a loved one who has COVID. Well, you know something? We've got a cure, maybe not for them, but for your fear. Maybe you've got financial problems. Maybe you've got marital problems. I don't know. But we do know, have one that does know. And so my challenge to you this morning, if you don't know Christ, that you would come to know Christ today. I heard a man say yesterday at a funeral, you want to come to Jesus just because when you die, you want to be with your loved one. I don't want to go to Jesus to be with my loved one. That's not my... I want to come to Christ because He is the one who will guide me through life. He's the one who intercedes for me right now. I want Jesus for where I'm living now, not for then. Maybe you need Christ. I want to invite you that right where you sit, you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. We were talking about in Sunday school class. I'm naked before you, and I am helpless. But I want to come to you, and I ask for you to save my rotten soul. And thank you that you take all of my sin. One thing was mentioned in Sunday school class today, how that Satan loves to remind us of our past. Have you ever noticed that? But you know, God never reminds us of our past. He reminds us of our present and our future. So if you're being reminded of your past, I love what it says in Psalm 103, that He took all my sin and buried it in the deepest sea, and He remembers it no more. And a buddy of mine said, and He put a no fishing sign over top of it. But if you need Christ, I challenge you today. But if you have a need, I don't know who your elders are here at the church, your deacons are, but if you have a need and you'd like to pray with them or pray with me, come on down, and we'll get together with you. But I want you to know that the God of Habakkuk is the same God that we serve today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're true all the time. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. You never forsake us. You never leave us alone. As the scripture says that in Romans 8, that right now that you're making intercession for us. We don't know what today holds or tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in our world, but you do. We can't buy a bottle of peace at the drugstore. We can't buy joy anywhere else. But the peace and the joy that lasts and that can only cure comes from you. So right now we ask for you to work in our lives. In this moment of quiet, speak, O Lord, speak loudly to us. And we ask it in your name, for your glory, and amen.
If you would stand me for our invitation. The altar is now open. If you have something you need to pray about or anything, you can come down and pray. Kevin's going to come down front if you'd like to speak with him. And, of course, golly, Ned's lost your name. Brady. Butch, right? Brady will be down front as well. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and start our invitation, all right?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge lose all their guilty sins.
Good morning. As you can see, I am not Randy. He is, I think, home resting. I do keep praying for him and for Donna and also for Bob Hall. Has he gone out about his mother?
What's that?
Has he gone out about his mother? His mother passed last night. She was, how old? 100, yeah. So, but if anyone needs anything, please call the number. It'll go to all of our phones, and either Randy, myself, or one of the other guys will call you back. So, and thank you too for that message. That was excellent. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Yeah. So, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here and for everyone online. Father, we do thank you again for the love and the grace that you show us each and every day. Father, we do pray, Lord, for everyone here, for our church, for our pastor search committee. We pray, Lord, just for our country as well, that you just, Father, just lay your hand